Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Bocce Boys. We have another big show for you. Not quite as depressing as last time. We have more baseball to touch on. Big day in NFL trades, actually. So if you heard for anything on your fantasy team, we got that covered. We got a lot of big news off the rip. And then, of course, we got our classic football recap. All that and much more starts right now. Hello, everybody. Davis, we're back on the pod. We're not sure whether we're going to do a pod today. It's kind of a weird day in sports this week. Not really too much to hit on. And then the NFL happened, and they gave us a lot to talk about today, Davis. Today, or did they not?
Oh, yes, they did. And they could be affecting our fantasy football teams in many different ways. Not just the guys who got moved today, but I think there's some deeper level here that could be needed to be talked about.
Yeah, let's just get right to it. And I want to give a special shout out to my buddy JP Carney because he has Devontae Adams and Amari Cooper on his fantasy team. Wow. I texted him about both and he gave me a hard no on both. So good day for him. So shout out to him. Got two guys on two contenders. So let's talk about those right off the rip. Devontae Adams traded to the Jets. We kind of knew this was happening. It was either between them and the Saints, and then Derek Carr got hurt. So you kind of figured it was probably the Jets. There was a report actually late last week that Schefter said there's a good chance that Devontae Adams could stay because he liked Aiden O'Connell or something like that. But nonetheless, he was traded to the Jets after the Jets lost last night on Monday Night Football by 3 to the Bills. And then the Bills, in response to the Devontae Adams trade and after they beat the Jets, said, let's re-up as well. And they got Amari Cooper from the Browns. Quite the day in the AFC East, Davis. Let me ask you this, though. Who got better?
Great question. I'm going to have to say the Jets, just on the fact that I think Devontae Adams is the better wide receiver.
For sure.
But I think that the Amari Cooper news was more shocking in the fact that we haven't heard much about the Browns trading him. I mean, there were talks of it kind of earlier in the offseason, but I didn't think it was going to happen right now. But I think that this is I think the better move is the Bills getting Amari Cooper. I think the team that won the most is the Jets getting the better wide receiver.
Yeah, I want to say, to be the hot take machine, say the Bills got better, which I kind of think they did. Like, Amari Cooper helps them out a lot. Like, their best receiver was Khalil Shakir, and great player. No hate to Khalil Shakir, but Amari Cooper will help all those other guys eat because they didn't have a reliable guy. But on the other hand, the Jets already had Garrett Wilson, and now they have Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams. And by the way, Alan Lazard hasn't looked terrible. Yeah. He has in spots, but his stats are actually really good.
Yeah.
So the Jets, I know they're 2-4, but they can climb back from this. We've seen Aaron Rodgers climb back from worse.
Yeah, 100%. I think that I agree with you. I think the move needed to be done, especially after that loss last night. Look, Aaron Rodgers actually played very well. Brees Hall played very well. Garrett Wilson played well. Mm-hmm. What did it come down to? It came down to missed field goals and just
poor defense. And that pick from Rodgers.
It came down to poor defense when it mattered most, which I think that nobody thought the Jets were going to come down to a situation like that. Everyone loves their defense, especially myself. There were a few injuries on the defensive side throughout the night for the Jets. But look, the Bills played good football. It's kind of like how the Chiefs play. They win these type of games. You do just have to have that, you know, almost like dog mentality to win these type of games. We'll touch on dog mentality when we talk about Penn State, because they had a very similar situation. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers with the Hail Mary at the end of the half was pretty awesome to watch. Kept the Jets in the game. They kept it a 3-point game.
He's just good at that. Like, it's a weird thing to be good at because, it is. Half luck, but he's done it a couple times now where you're like, I don't know.
You see it all the time though, where you know, a guy throws it short or out of the end zone. Like, he's just good at throwing it in the middle of the end zone.
The arm still holds up at 40.
Yes, 100%. So 100%. I think the Jets trade is very interesting, and I think it's most interesting for Garrett Wilson. A stat that was thrown up on the broadcast last night, Garrett Wilson has been the most targeted wide receiver throughout the NFL this entire season so far.
Makes sense.
It's going to take a workload off of him, and it's going to put a lot more presence on Davante Adams, which I think actually helps Garrett Wilson.
I agree. I was going to say the same thing. I actually completely agree.
Now, when we talk about the other receivers, though, I think Mike Williams is gonzo. He's done.
They said they're looking to trade him, I think.
Yeah, Alan Lazard is going to be dropped down to a third wide receiver. And
He knows how to play alongside Davante Adams. He has past experience, so that's absolutely good.
But this Jets team is going to be a fun team fantasy-wise for the rest of the year, because everyone's going to be tuning in, because there are some studs on this team with Adams, 100%. Wilson, and Breece Hall.
100%. It's going to be very, very fun. That division is kind of up for grabs, even though the Bills have the lead with 4-2. But let's go to the other NFL story. This one has been talked about for a while. Tom Brady, we already knew he was trying to become a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, but today it was approved. I just want to read off some of the restrictions he has. He's not permitted to be in another team's facility, not permitted to witness a practice, not permitted to attend broadcast production meetings, either in person or virtually. That's brutal for him as the Fox guy. Prohibited from publicly criticizing game officials and other clubs, and he is subject to the NFL's gambling policy and the anti-tampering policy. So Brady is officially a Vegas Raider member, whatever the hell you want to call it. This is interesting for many reasons, Davis, because he is the Fox guy, but I always thought Brady would eventually become a majority owner, and maybe he does that with the Raiders down the road. Who knows? But this is very, very interesting.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, look, Mark Davis is not known as a great owner.
He's not a very rich guy either. It's all his mom's money.
No, his father was a very prominent figure in the NFL.
Yeah, look his dad up if you have no idea who Al Davis is.
Yeah, look up the stories of Al Davis, because it's very interesting.
His son cannot be further from the tree, though.
Correct. I think this is a good move for Brady and the NFL. I think, you know, we're also seeing a lot of these former athletes become minority owners in all different types of sports.
There's actually a rumor today that Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady are trying to get minority stakes in the Bills. So there you go.
I think it's awesome. I really do. You're seeing it with even actors going across the seas and going across the pond, like a team,
Wrexham.
Wrexham. Yep.
Ryan and then JJ Watt with Burnley.
Absolutely. Brady has a team out there too. I think it's Birmingham City.
Yes.
But I mean, I think it's really cool to see all these guys. Look, there's a reason that they get paid 8-9 figures in the league that they play in, and they're going to put their families up for life. But I think it's great investments for these guys to stay 100%. Around the community. Look, I will be honest. I think Brady's been pretty entertaining as a broadcaster so far. I like to hear his knowledge of the game, but you know, those will come and go, and we'll see someone else coming through, and you know, good for him.
Yeah, it's very, very cool, especially because the Raiders are such a prominent team, and they have been very, very sneaky in the last 20 years. In my life, they have been nothing but a prominent organization. So hopefully Brady can bring whatever that is back to the black and silver. And then speaking of what I think is not a great long-term business decision, Philly's brought back Rob Thompson. And not only that, they brought back his entire coaching staff for next year. Didn't really think about it, just did it.
The biggest part of what you had just said is the latter of they brought back the entire rest of the coaching staff.
Yes.
Now, I told you that I was 50-50 on whether Rob would be back, but I think that the hitting coach was definitely going to be gone. That was my initial thoughts. But look, I'm okay with them running it back, because I also heard talks now that we're going to be really, really pushing for Juan Soto.
He just said today, we don't need another star player.
You never know. I don't know. These guys are going back and forth. I've heard contracts in the range of $480 million for Soto. I don't know where these guys get their money from. All right, I really don't. I wish I knew the secrets.
Baseball doesn't make any sense. It's just old money from the 1950s that is still stuffed away in someone's shed or something. Like I don't know.
But look, it might be a hot take, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay. I'm definitely okay with Rob Thompson coming back and being topper again, at least for the start of the 2025 season. But, you know, on the back end of things, we don't really know what the day-to-day looks like. So
fair enough.
They might like these guys enough that, you know, they actually may have, the players may have been pushing for these guys to stay in the back end. So,
fair enough.
You know, I'm cool with it. And, you know, the year we won the World Series – or won, excuse me, the year we made it to the World Series, Joe Girardi got canned in June – in May, actually, late May. So you never know. Like, baseball is a great sport where that can
happen. Who's got option to replace him? We don't – like, Topper was – such a good like piece to have on that bench at the time, a veteran coach in waiting for an opportunity like that. Like, I'm not a big baseball guy. Is there a guy like that on his squad? I'm not sure.
Out in the market, I don't think so. It's going to be what seems like the league is moving towards is a lot of former players. Actually, you know, just like we were talking about with ownership in some of these leagues, coaching is also moving a lot towards former players. You know, I'm okay with having having Rob Thompson there. I think he made better decisions on the bullpen side of things this year. I think his substitutions were fine. I think his lineups were okay. Wasn't a fan that, you know, win or go home game, you don't put your best nine out there to start the game. But to each their own. And look, it's not Rob Thompson's fault or the hitting coach or the pitching coach that we couldn't score more than, you know, one or two runs in three of the four games against the Mets.
Yeah, we got to hit. We got to hit. Simple as that.
We've all offseason to think about it.
Yeah, we have a lot more to think about this. But let's get to the rest of the MLB postseason, Davis. Just want to throw in a little update here. I'm just going to throw this in, the Subway Series prediction that we made a couple of weeks ago. It's right on track.
It is.
Right on track. You know, we were very upset. I don't know why we predicted this while the Phillies were still in it, but I think we said the Subway Series was going to possibly happen if the Phillies were still in it. It's all good. Looking like that, though, the Mets are tied with the Dodgers 1-1. They got killed in the first game. I think it was 6-0 or 9-0 or something crazy. Mm-hmm. And then last night, the Mets returned the favor. They won 5 or 6-2. They had a really sick grandstand from Vientos in, like, the fourth or fifth inning.
Yep.
Mets are looking like they are back into it. The hitting has not died down yet. They had a bad first game, but they are not dead. And then on the AL side, the Guardians and the Yankees. Yankees, despite not having anything from Aaron Judge, still are hitting like crazy. Giancarlo Stanton turning back the clock this postseason. He is having a hell of an offseason. Juan Soto's joined the fray, but Yankees pitching has shown up in spades for them so far.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a good thing when Clay Holmes actually can get you out of an inning in a high leverage situation like he did last night. Luke Weaver's been the best bullpen pitcher besides Emmanuel Clase over the last 2 months. When Carlos Rodon can go out there and give you an amazing outing in the playoffs, something that I wouldn't have expected to be completely really honest with you.
You were hating on him last week, by the way.
Oh yeah. Oh, I was hating on him for sure. I've never been a fan of him. Well, shouldn't say never. I haven't been a fan of him since he got TJ 2 years ago.
Makes him better though. Come on.
He came back and had like a 7.
Comes back as the bionic man.
He had like a 7 ERA to end last season. When he pitched for like 2 months. So
it's usually like on off. If you have a really bad year, the next year you're gonna be good.
It happens. Look, they play another game tonight. Garrett Cole's on the mound for the Yankees, I think it's gonna be a great game. Give me the Guardians tonight. To be completely honest,
wow. Garrett Cole. You think they hit off Garrett Cole?
Garrett Cole has not looked like the Garrett Cole that we have seen him as.
He was in the ALDS, I thought.
He looked decent. Gave up a lot of hits. The Yankees were able to get out of things. But
for sure.
His strikeout percentage is down. His walk percentage is up. And even just strikes thrown has been down. I think this Garrett Cole we're seeing now, we're seeing the trajectory downwards. We remember the stud over the last 7 years.
I think we forgot how dominant he was in the playoffs in Houston. So maybe it's just me, but like when it comes down the stretch here, like the Yankees are finally in a spot where there's not really anyone to kill the party. Like the destiny to get to the World Series is theirs. So I don't know. I feel like a guy like Garrett Cole comes out tonight and is like, I'm shelling. You're going to see like Pittsburgh Garrett Cole. Like that's what I want to see.
He used to be
one of my favorite pitchers. Now he's a Yankee.
My concern isn't – I don't think Garrett Cole is going to give up 8 runs. Look, there's a chance he gives up 2, 3, 4. Sure. I think that this Guardians pitching is just starting on the brink of getting hot again. Ethan, let me give you a few stats that I have today from the regular season. I know I sent them to you earlier. The Guardians have the best winning team winning percentage after leading after six innings. They're 71-2. Wow. After seven innings, they're 77-2. Wow. When they're leading through eight innings, they are 82-0 this year. So
the Yankees got to have that lead going into the seventh or eighth.
They are not the Mets. They do not come. The Guardians are not a team that let people come from behind. So if the front half of this Yankees offense can, you know, put up some runs, especially in the first two rotations of the batting order,
yeah,
the Yankees can definitely win this game. But I can't really trust the fact that the Guardians bullpen is just going to, like, for some reason, randomly explode tonight, or just in general. So I think this is a very evenly matched series, even though they're up 1-0 right now.
Okay.
Nice. I think both of these series are going to be very interesting. I am much more intrigued to watch this year. I did not watch the World Series last year. Just Arizona, Texas.
I saw that the MLB postseason overall, the ratings are about 18-ish%. So that's very, very good. We've had some really good games so far. Hopefully these championship series continue to get better, because like that Mets Dodgers series, I'm looking forward to watching more games than that, because, you know, I want to see the Yankees Mets and the Yankees kill the Mets, or I don't even know, but I just want to see good baseball right now. And the Dodgers, they're really hitting well right now. I know they got killed in the last game, but they are hitting very well.
Look, if you want to see some bats flying around, tune into the Dodgers game on Thursday night. Maybe we'll have a podcast on Thursday night, so we might not be able to review it before our next podcast. But we're seeing Walker Buehler go up against Luis Severino. Walker Buehler right now, he was not good this year. And
coming back from TJ, right?
Yeah, he actually is over a 10 ERA in the playoffs right now. Luis Severino is around a 5 ERA. So if you want to see some bats flying, tune into that game.
If you want to see that over tomorrow night.
If you want to see some defense and you want to see scrappy baseball, turn into the Guardians game tonight. That's what I'm going to be tuning into.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. All right, Davis, let's get to some college football, because we hyped this week up a lot, just like everyone else did. It wasn't just us, but the whole country did. And I think it lived up. I mean, there were some really good games. Texas kicked the dog shit out of Oklahoma. They sure did. The Texas fans are sitting happy after, I think they got shocked last year and lost to Oklahoma and kind of like put their season in a tailspin. I know they made the playoff, but still. So good win for them. And then Davis, this Oregon-Ohio State game. We'll get to Penn State in a second. Let's just get on the line. But, like, Oregon-Ohio State, that was a crazy game. Me and you were both out and about in Philadelphia, so we weren't, you know, watching every second of this game. But it was close. It was very, very close.
The whole game was close.
Excuse me. Do you want to talk about the Dan Lanning thing? Did you see that, Coach?
I would love to. You know, it's a good football game, or just a good sports game, when the rules might need to be changed right when the game ends.
This is crazy.
We've seen it in other sports. We saw Kenny Pickett fake slide against Michigan State in the Orange Bowl in 2021. They banned the fake slide the next day. In this game, it happens to be purposefully putting 12 men on the field to give yourself an advantage at the end of a game. Something that I've never thought of. This is why they don't pay me the big bucks to be a coach. Ohio State had the ball with about 9 seconds left. Oregon threw another cornerback onto the field to make 12 people on defense. If you don't know, you need 11. That's a flag. But the way that the penalty works, Ohio State snapped the ball. The flag was thrown immediately, but Will Howard threw an incompletion. So, look, incomplete pass, 5 seconds go off the clock, flag on the play, 5-yard penalty. The problem is the time doesn't restore. So now there's only like 5 seconds on the clock.
Five or four,
and they're still not in comfortable field goal range. So they only have about one play left. Very interesting play by Dan Lanning. I think it's actually
– somehow knew that the quarterback was going to scramble and run out the clock. And you see Will Howard after runs out the clock, like smacking himself on the helmet. Like, how could you let that happen?
Yeah.
Masterful play call by Dan Lanning. And someone asked him about it yesterday in a press conference, and he started smiling right away and was like, I'm not going to lie, we practiced that. These guys in college, they have dudes, you know, doing counter-styling and stuff. And then they also have dudes scouring that rule book for something like that. So masterful coaching by Dan Lanning and the Ducks, and they got their biggest win in program recent program history.
Oh, absolutely. And again, we might see a rule change come after this. I don't know if it's going to be as quick as the Kenny Pickett slide.
No.
But we might see something like an untimed down almost on this type of free play.
Yeah.
So who knows? But I mean, this game lived up to be one of the best games of the year. And Oregon covered the spread too, which is very interesting. Maybe not a Penn State thing we wanted. As a Penn State fan, you kind of want Ohio State to win that game. Me, as a Penn State fan, I don't care. Best team should win that game. And I think the best team did win that game. And I think the best team won the next game we're going to talk about.
Yeah. And I just want to, before we get to the next thing, I want to say this is another instance of why the 12-team playoff is great, because this would kill Ohio State's season.
Yes.
And like you said, we would have really wanted Ohio State to win in a 4-team playoff, because like that would have destroyed Ohio State's season. And we want to be the ones to do that. Yep. We want to do that. So thankfully Ohio State's still not out of it, and we can actually put the daggers in their backs now, kind of thing, in Happy Valley in 3 weeks. So that's exciting. But speaking about the Nittany Lions, they took care of business in Southern California. I don't even want to say took care of business. They barely scratched one out. But nonetheless, Davis, it was safe to say James Franklin's biggest road win since he got to State College. Biggest win not named Ohio State or Michigan, all that stuff. They won in overtime. They were down at least 2 touchdowns at one point. They battled all the way back, had a little bit of luck, had a little bit of help from a missed field goal in overtime that made it easy in overtime for them to win. But nonetheless, the Nittany Lions beat the Trojans and kind of, you know, slayed the dragon of that horrible Rose Bowl loss from 5 years ago. So it felt really, really, really good. But as the Penn State fanatic, Davis, I want to let you go off about this one.
Yeah, down 20-6 at halftime. Got many calls from my Penn State friends. It was a long 20 minutes waiting for kickoff again and for Penn State to get the ball back. I do not kid you when I tell you this. I had friends crying on the phone at halftime with me. I was not crying.
You want
to
list any names?
Nah, I don't want to put people on blast now. All right. That's not my job. But you might hear a Shams report come out soon about who it might be. But people literally like on the phone crying, saying the season's over. This is why Penn State can never win.
These are the kinds of people that are living in State College, by the way.
Yeah. This is their livelihoods. I understand it. But I told them, look, there's a lot of time left and we're getting the ball back. And Penn State looked decent. USC had 2 or 3 trick plays in the first half that probably netted them over 130 of their yards in the first half and a score. So, you know, Penn State just had to come back out and play their style of offense. And they did. And it's somewhat trickery, but it's also just dinking and dunking and running the football hard.
Yes.
We saw Tyler Warren is now actually possibly on the Heisman watch list. I saw at number 10 on the top 10.
Not that I don't think he's in the country.
But he tied the FBS record. This is a record that has stood for like 100 over 100 years with 17 receptions for a tight end.
Holy crap.
He had 20 targets, 17 receptions.
20 targets, crazy.
He actually caught a touchdown on a play that he snapped the ball. I know a lot of people have probably seen that. I actually had to do a double take when I saw him streaking towards the end zone. Cause I was like, you should watch the whole play. Cause the whole offensive line shifted around him. And he was the one who ended up snapping the ball, threw it backwards to Drew Allar. Tyler Warren streaking down the field, not uncovered at all, made a tremendous catch in the end zone. Look, the defense held their own at the end of the game. Miller Moss did not look good in the fourth quarter, USC quarterback. So, you know, it's just we got pressure to him. We have statistically the best defensive line in the country. We have over a 50%, I don't know what you call it, like a hurry rate or whatever. Quarterback on pass plays.
Yep.
Something that in college football, that is just unbelievable. And getting pressure on these kids is just huge. Great win, went to overtime, game-winning field goal, and got the job done. Can't really say anything more about it other than we have a bye week this week, and we play a night game in Camp Randall, Wisconsin, 2 weeks, and then we come back to Happy Valley and take the Buckeyes on at home.
What did I text you after that game? On to Wisconsin.
on to Wisconsin. 100%. We're not thinking
about anything in the future. I know we just already talked about it, but still, on to Wisconsin. That's what we're worried about.
Want to know. And look, the better team won this Penn State game, yeah. And USC is a good team. Yeah. I know they're not ranked, but they are a good team still.
Yeah. And I like, just for, you know, back to the realignment stuff, it's a great Big Ten matchup. I'm glad they did this. It sucks that they, you know, live in California, but it's a very, very fun matchup. I'm looking forward to this stuff for years to come.
Yeah.
Let's go to a classic SEC matchup, though. Tennessee and Florida. I'm really glad I cash out of that Nico Heisman future, yeah. Because I think I profited on the cash out, actually, but not by much, because Nico definitely took his foot off the gas the last couple weeks. They obviously lost last week to Arkansas. Yes. And then they were losing, actually, most of this game to Florida, and they barely squeaked it out. So, you know, Tennessee gearing up for who they play this weekend? Is it Alabama?
They play home against Alabama, correct? Yeah.
So they have a giant game this week. Bama also squeaked out a win against South Carolina this week. So two teams that kind of face in the same situation. I know Bama already has a terrible loss they're wearing on the Vandy, but both teams that need to right some wrongs this weekend, Davis.
Yeah, it's, you know, I find it very interesting. This Tennessee offense has just disappeared out of nowhere almost. Look, they had played some stinkers to start the year against Chattanooga and Kent State, but they also beat a ranked NC State 51-10. This team scored 191 points in their first three games.
Yeah.
They have been shut out in the first half in each of their last two games. That is not something that you see very often from good college football teams.
Yeah.
Not even good college football teams, just decent ones. This Tennessee offense has gone nowhere for some reason, and they take on Alabama, another team. The score is not up here, but they struggled again this week. They lost to Vandy 2 weeks ago, and they were losing to South Carolina for actually somewhat of a majority of the second half of that game. And they kind of actually lucked out in the end and ended up taking the win. And that was a home game too for Alabama. So hats off to Richie Ashburn. What's his
name?
His name's not Richie Auburn.
There's a kicker whose name is Richie or something Auburn.
Well, he went to Auburn.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
Richie Ashford. Good for him. Yeah. South Carolina, they're putting them back on the map, I guess. But this Alabama team is starting to worry me for sure.
Yeah, and they need to write that ship ASAP. Because, yep. Davis, we thought LSU was dead. They lost week zero or week one, whatever it was, to USC, and they did not look good ever since. But here they are. They only have one loss. They beat Ole Miss at home. They have entered the AP top 10 again, and it looks like the Tigers are, you know, in playoff contention again. We'll see what happens down the road because, you know, they still have to face a couple teams that are going to be tough in the SEC. But a big, big win in Baton Rouge for the Tigers. Anything on that one?
Tough to play in Death Valley, and LSU was an underdog in this game. If you'd watched the last podcast, you saw that on my best bets, the +3.5. I mean, I know it ended up being a sweat because it went to overtime, but I mean, this LSU team looked really good. And, you know, Ole Miss, they are another team that has not disappeared, but they've taken a major step back out of their first few weeks.
Yeah.
They were putting up like 600 yards of offense in the first 4 weeks.
Them and Tennessee were first half champions.
Yeah. So I, again, good for LSU. Grant Nussmeier didn't have the greatest completion percentage, 22 for 51, but had over 330 yards in the air. And, you know, again, very tough to play in Death Valley.
Yeah, seriously. This next game, Iowa State falls to West Virginia. West Virginia was winning for most of the first half, and they kind of took their foot off the gas. Tough loss for the Mountaineers. And then elsewhere in the Big 12, Colorado falls to Kansas State. Kansas State barely pulling one out in Boulder, but it looks like Colorado, you know, they only have two losses. Travis Hunter did get hurt, though. Might have hurt his Heisman chances a little bit, although it does feel like Ashton Gentry is literally and metaphorically running away with the award. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure what to think about that one, but a tough loss for the Buffs.
Yeah, I didn't watch this game. Shador put up a fantastic stat line. Avery Johnson, quarterback of Kansas State, also put up a good stat line. But the one thing I want to mention with this game I think is very interesting. Sportsbooks 100% won in this game. Spread was about 4.5, 5.5. A lot of the money went on Kansas State and the money Kansas State with the spread, or Colorado with the money line. Falls right in between. Kansas State wins by 3. one of those funny times where the books, it feels like they always win, but one of the funny times where they won on both sides, actually.
Yeah, and then seamless transition to the NFL. It seems like the books lost a lot this weekend. It was a very profitable weekend for the gamblers. And since the Bills won, it seems like it was actually a really bad weekend for the books. Is that correct? Is that how
that was? Yeah, road favorites, something, a type of bet that does not hit over 50% of the time. A lot of people, like, you know, a lot of casuals are going to be betting on the team that looks better on paper. They just don't take into consideration home field advantage sometimes. Road favorites are 9-0 this week against the spread. So everyone who put their parlays in or their favorites, you know, all the minus monies, they all hit. So, you know, congratulations to all those people who did that. But 100% correct. Definitely bettors weekend in the NFL. And what I will say, deservingly so, it hasn't been a bettors year for the NFL this year at all.
Which is surprising because this is definitely my best gambling year ever by far. Yeah, I need a bang on that desk. Let's get to the NFL, though. This Thursday night game we predicted very correctly, so I'm just going to move on to the
London. I want to put it out there. Okay. You predicted very correctly. I took the Seahawks in that game. So I want to give you credit for once, all right? Good job.
On the London game, though, the Bears kicked the crap out of the Jags. The soon-to-be London Jaguars, it feels like. Caleb Williams looked good. I thought it looked really good. All that stuff. But then I watched on McAfee, and McAfee was like, hey, Bill Belichick, don't you think Caleb Williams looked good? And he said, it's a good defense to play. So I'm just going to take that from Bill Belichick and run with it. So there you go.
Asserts himself right back in the rookie of the year conversation, though, which is interesting.
For sure. And then the other side of the rookie of the year conversation, Jane Daniels held his own against Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens, but goddamn is Baltimore wagon. I don't know how they even started 0-2 because they look that freaking good right now. If the Chiefs weren't undefeated and, you know, back-to-back Super Bowl champs, I would be all over the Ravens to win the championship this year. But, you know, they had the home field advantage last year and it didn't pay off. So we'll see what comes in January, but good for the Ravens.
Yep. The next game here, Drake May, first start NFL career start. Told you last week would never, you know, don't like first games for NFL starting quarterbacks as rookies. But I will say he definitely held his own. I know the Texans ended up putting 41 on the Pats defense, but Drake May, I would say actually played very well.
He looked like I hate to even say this because I didn't watch the game or the red zone, but it looked like he brought like an energy to the offense that wasn't there before. I saw a video of receivers just getting hype in the huddle, and like they seem like they're into it. So that is very cool. On to that next game though. Eagles, I got the W, Davis. They won. They did not cover the spread, like we said. We knew they wouldn't. They won by 4, so nice. They barely beat the 1-5 now Cleveland Browns. And then after the game, Nick Sirianni let the fans hear it for whatever reason that is. And then Davis, he's not panicking. He shaved his head, but he's not panicking. Not a panicky move for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that, it brought me right back to, you know, Britney Spears. And then,
hold on. Human shield at the post-game press conference.
Yeah. It brought me back to the Britney Spears stuff.
My mom said that same thing.
I like when she started to go a little crazy, her tell-all book explained all of it very well.
You read that?
No, glanced. I dabble.
Right, we'll get back to football.
But I actually saw a thing today that the fan who Sirianni was talking to actually put out like a Reddit post saying he actually wasn't yelling at me. We were kind of agreeing on the fact that we had to run the ball. They were having some beef throughout the game, I guess. The fan, here's the thing, but whatever.
How does that even start?
I don't care how anybody perceives it, or the fan saying, hey, go Birds, you're good, Nick. Like, it wasn't a misunderstanding at all. We're good. Nick Sirianni, what are you doing? Focus on the football game. Why are we focused on all this?
How does that even start? The fact that he's even like, even if he's agreeing, the fact that he's having a continuous conversation with a fan during a game is nuts. You're the head football coach.
We've seen it before. We've seen it. Even when we went to the Super Bowl, he was saying stuff to fans on games where we'd win. We should have known
in that playoff game when I think it was the Giants playoff game when we were winning, and he went right up to the camera and shook his head. Yeah. And he was more focused on getting that gift rather than focusing on the next drive.
Absolutely. I said last week if we lost this game, I think he could have been canned this week. I don't know.
Calling for his job and we won.
I don't really know if that changes too much, to be completely honest with you. We play the Giants this coming week.
This is what it changes.
Yeah, I'm still definitely have him on a flaming hot seat, whether the media is portraying it that way or not anymore after we got this win. But look, I'll take the vice versa side of things and say I think I told you, I may have actually said on the podcast, I know I was telling my dad about this. I said pregame, if we win by 4 or we win by 40, I do not care. A win's a win. I need to go back on the tape and see if I said that last week on the podcast too, because we literally won by 4. I have to stand by my word and say we won the game. On to the Giants.
Yeah, on to the Giants. I just want to throw in a recent breaking news thing. Your fantasy owners, Cam Akers to the Vikings. Want to throw that out there?
Oh, jeez.
Just saying. I got Cam Akers because Joe Mixon was hurt for a couple weeks, so – it's an interesting development.
Anyway. Talk to me after the podcast about that. Yeah, I know. Okay. I know you're on the rebuild. I know you're in a rebuilding stage right now. 2-4.
I don't even want to talk about it. It's a bad fantasy year. Colts said Titans. This game is interesting because I heard that Anthony Richardson was healthy, and then they started Flacco anyway. So very.
I'm good with it. I think. I mean, look at what Flacco did last year.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Sucks for being a Colts fan though right now.
Hey, we took the under last week, so that was me and you both agreed on that.
Very nice. Cardinals, Packers, didn't watch it, don't care.
Again, we both took the over on last week. That worked too. We should start taking our own advice, honestly.
It's almost like we're smart. the Buccaneers, Saints. The Buccaneers ran up the score on the Saints. The Saints held their own with Spencer Rattler for a hot second, and then they realized that he was a rookie quarterback, and they exploited that. So,
yeah, another rookie quarterback playing his first game, and Rattler – I know he had 2 interceptions.
Good.
Didn't play too bad, I would say.
Yeah. Steelers, Raiders. I don't even care about this game. We forgot about one piece of breaking news. Russell Wilson is going to start this week. I don't know why, because Fields has lost 2 games as a starter now. He's 4-2, and they pulled him. They have Russell Wilson starting this week. I don't understand why. I thought Fields looked good this week. Someone also put out like a screenshot of just like, it was like a TikTok and it was just like all the Steelers receivers. And it was like Scotty Miller, Calvin Austin, whoever, and then George Pickens. So like, they really could have used Devontae Adams or Amari Cooper. So tough sledding for the Steelers, tough sledding.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a fan of that move, but look, Steelers defense is going to Steelers defense every week. And they did it again. And had a fantastic day. What do you say?
The Steelers haven't looked great recently on defense. That's all.
They had a good game yesterday. I mean, they created – or 2 days ago, I guess. They created turnovers. I think they may have blocked a kick. Steelers going to Steelers, I guess. Russell Wilson. Watch Russell Wilson come in and just look like the old Russell Wilson we know. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know.
No, I think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Russell Wilson sucks. Chargers, Broncos. Jim Harbaugh had hit a heart arrhythmia, whatever the hell that is. Apparently, he had that in 2012, and he won on that game. So he said that he's 2-0 with this. So next time that happens, I'd just like to know so I can bet them before the game. That's it.
Yeah, one of my best bets of the week was the Broncos. Obviously, that didn't work. I wish I was able to pull that once I saw.
Should have talked to God and told and asked if he was going to put that heart arrhythmia or whatever the hell in Jim Harbaugh's heart.
Look at the guy across the way, Sean Payton. Come on, why can't you help me out and have an arrhythmia? Whatever. On to the next one. You're not going to win them all.
No, on to the next one. The Lions killed the Cowboys. Killed them on Jerry Jones' birthday, too, nonetheless. And then Jerry Jones said that he hadn't even considered a coaching change, which is just not true, but whatever, Jerry.
Yeah, biggest part about this game, other than the fact that the Cowboys got slaughtered, unfortunate news, Aiden Hutchinson. A very gruesome leg injury.
Graphic video. I don't recommend watching it. It's
out for the rest of the year, unfortunately. That's a big piece on the defensive side for the Lions. Mm-hmm. I still really like the Lions. I think that they're going to be rolling, and I would consider them to be the best team in the NFC at the moment.
Yeah, that division is tough.
4-2 puts you in last place in that division.
They got to play each other, but yeah, I completely agree. Falcons, Panthers, I'm surprised the Panthers put up 20 points. Bengals, Giants, 17-7. Bengals took care of business. I thought the Giants might be a little bit more frisky, but we are going to play the Giants next week. So I'm not looking forward to that. But the Bengals got another win, so good for them. But it's going to be tough sledding for them to even get back in the picture, to be honest.
Yeah, the whole division, the NFC North, looks solid except Cleveland. So, I mean, the Steelers are playing well. The Ravens have looked like the best team in football over the last few weeks. Very curious to see what's going to happen there. And Bills, Jets last night, good Monday night football game, in my opinion, I thought.
Yeah, I just want to point out they're doing a really good job of putting out quality games on Monday night. So I'm happy and thankful for that, because when Joe and Troy took over, it wasn't good for a second. So I'm glad that they gave them a good quality of games to work with, because they're amazing big game commentators and they should be treated as such.
Well, I know that, you know, there's some history here, but we're gonna see a stinker of some primetime games this coming week. We've got the Broncos on Thursday night. We've got the Patriots and Jaguars in London. We'll see. We'll talk about it in our review preview video this week, but don't be super excited about, you know, taking overs in those games, in my opinion.
What's the Sunday night game this week? It's something really bad.
Jets Steelers. So, you know, actually, it's not that bad. Especially, it's going to be Devontae Adams' first game. But we got another doubleheader Monday night.
Yeah, except one of those games is exclusively on ESPN Plus. So expect a ton of backlash because of that.
What? That's insane.
Yeah, I don't know why. No one has ESPN Plus, so I'm sure. My mom does, but I don't use it. It's for college sports.
It's the Disney bundle.
True. It's annoying though. ESPN Plus is a hassle. That's all.
Yeah, I like to tune into my D2 college football and college basketball when the times come on.
I watch my college lacrosse a good share. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, Davis. Let's hear it. Your picks of the weekend.
Well, these aren't my picks.
A recap.
Because I'm going to give my picks on Thursday. Just want to throw out there, went 3-3. We went through almost all of these games already. The only ones we didn't go through were the Iowa-Washington game and the Cal-Pitt game. Pitt, unfortunate, did not cover this by 1 point. They won by 2 on it's not like it was really that close, because Cal actually had a chance to win the game, missed a game-winning field goal. Take that L. But on the plus side of things, Iowa killed Washington. Washington's offense was abysmal. And Iowa and Cade McNamara actually played pretty decent. And Cade McNamara got his first passing touchdown against a Power 5 school in 2 years. Something I thought that would be very interesting to hear on here.
It's shocking how bad Iowa is at football.
Correct. But
I know we're talking big about them, but they can't get a quarterback to save their lives.
Yeah, we'll see. 3-3. Now we're still plus on the year, 7-4-1. Yeah, but stay tuned for some picks on Thursday, because I think I'm going to have a good college football slate this week. Probably almost exclusively college football. I realized that's been where my personal ROI has come from this year, has been from college football, not from the NFL. Not been doing very well in the NFL this year.
I'm the exact opposite, so we will have to start sharing our bets more, to be honest.
Correct. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. But we appreciate everybody sticking around for the whole show. We think we'll have another one later this week, but a big show with a lot of news nonetheless. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, send it to your friend. Tell them we suck. I think it worked last time a little bit. So, you know, be a friend or don't be a friend. I don't care.
I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you guys later. See you later. Peace.